Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, so I just had a guy text me or something during the show or message me or whatever. I don't even know what it's called. On Messenger or something, some fan from Pittsburgh, seems like a really cool guy. And he was telling me, his name's Joel, and he was telling me, Farrell, I think they might let in 50% capacity to the Steeler games in the fall, and which would be pretty cool. And then he said, I just wanted to thank you for your college basketball picks tonight, because honestly, Carver High, I just hit another game, the Ole Miss game over Missouri. And I told you today on Coast to Coast that Missouri is great when they play in Columbia, and when they play everywhere else, they're complete ass muffins. And they couldn't win a game against a girls AAU team on the road, and they got whacked tonight in Oxford. I mean, they must have been drinking something, because they beat them by like 20-something.
I mean, hottie toddies. They're taking down those hottie toddies.
I think the final was, how about this, 80-59. And then remember I said on Coast to Coast today, did I not say today, Villanova Marquette, and you were like, it's going to be we got a really big one in the Big East tonight, Villanova Marquette. And what did I say? I said, Marquette sucks. Okay, they're going to get whacked. And I laid 11. They beat them 96-64 by 32. So, and then Joel said, thanks for all the college winners. So let's take a look at the college rack tonight, because I have all my picks, and I can always tell when something's brewing. I knew it was brewing when I hit Indiana on one side and Northwestern on the four, but I had a roll going tonight like a doobie. I hit Bradley. I hit Providence. I hit Pepperdine. I hit Tulane. I have to check on this Furman spread. They didn't cover. Wussies. Let me see if I got this right. I may have stayed off of that. I think I stayed off of that game. I had Old Dominion and to win outright and 2.5. I told you that today on the show. They won 78-76 in overtime over Charlotte. I picked them clean to win on the road. I gave you Houston over South Florida. I said they'd smack that ass. I gave you Virginia was my top play, laying four. I said they would do Georgia Tech in Atlanta, 57-49. They did them. I gave you Drake to win. I got Boston College wrong. They were getting one. They lost by four. I hit, Wichita State. They won by, they were laying 1.5. They only won by one. I hit the George Mason game and spread. Chattanooga spread. I hit the Citadel spread. They beat East Tennessee. I can't believe that. I had West Carolina straight pick. That hit. I gave you Iowa and laid six. That covered. They beat Rutgers 79-66. And then I gave you Ole Miss blowout. Ole Miss was laying 1.5. They won 80-59. And then, I mean, is that enough winners for you tonight, Carver High? Welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 204. What up on satellite? Mightier 1090 in San Diego near to Yawana do Yawana. And Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, and Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. Good to have you with us. It's Pharrell on the bench. I'm Pharrell with Carver High this evening. Anyway, Carver High, you still haven't answered me. Did I hit enough bets for you tonight in college basketball?
It definitely sounds like you spread it around for everybody. If there was a game that they wanted to play, it seems like you hit it. So hopefully everybody got involved on some level.
All right, so Clippers won 119-112. They didn't cover. Grizzlies beat the Hornets. I got that wrong. Hit the Nets. Mavericks to win. Raptors to win and spread. Bucks are up right now, 69-57. I had the Bucks to win. Suns to cover the four. Nuggets are winning big. They're going to win 120-82. They're blowing out the Cavs tonight, 4.5 left. Pelicans were up. Now they're down. They're losing, and they're going – I think they're going to lose to the Bulls. 118-105 right now. And then the Thunder, before the half, are still up 12 on the Lakers, 63-51, and they're actually getting 12 from the Lakers. No AD again tonight, and now he's been missing a couple games with his Achilles. And do you remember when I was on the show, I said on – Coast to Coast on the TV side on Sports Grid in the afternoon the other day. I think it was yesterday. I said, look, the Lakers cannot afford at all, in my opinion, if anything happens to LeBron James, anything at all, if he has a groin, a hammy, anything, bad back, injured, broken finger, anything, I don't care what it is. If that guy gets injured down the stretch or in the playoffs, they're not winning. They're not winning at all. I'm telling you, he is the glue. He is the straw that stirs the drink, the whole deal. You know it, I know it. When AD's not there, they win because of him. When AD is there, they win because of him. AD plays great because of him. Everyone on that team plays great because of him. Do you seriously think Kuzma and Pope and that team will win without LeBron James? You must be tripping, son. All right, so for all on the bench, you know, Carver High, I still cannot believe that Andrew Benintendi was traded to the Royals tonight. And now their lineup looks like this. Whit Merrifield, who's solid, he's decent for sure. Mondesi, Perez the catcher, Carlos Santana at first, the cleanup hitter, DH Jorge Soler, six, Hunter Dozier at third. 7th, Andrew Benintendi. 8th, the center fielder, Michael Taylor. And 9th, the second baseman, Nicky Lopez. And they traded him for this guy, Cordero, this outfielder that was, he wasn't even making a mil. He was making $800,000. Now, you might know more than I do, right? So,
yeah.
Benintendi goes to the Royals, and they swap left fielders with Franchi Cordero going to the Red Sox, and Royals prospect Khalil Lee is headed to the Mets. And the Mets are sending right-hander Josh Winchowski to Boston, whoever the hell that is. All I know is I don't care about the particulars of these other guys. Obviously, they gave up on him. I don't know if it's one of two reasons. Money, because he's going to get paid. He won a World Series with him, didn't he? I think, and then after
yes,
that...
Yes, the last one he was a part of.
He was a part of the last one. And then after that, what happened last year was, unless I'm mistaken, he only played in 14 games last year. But in 2019, his production dropped horrifically from 2018 when he won the World Series title. But his dip in 2019 was not that bad when you take the injuries out of the equation. He hit 286 through 117 games. So he was injured a lot. And then, obviously, in 20, the pandemic season, the 60-game season, he only played 14 games. So he was worthless, right? And he just was injured and didn't play. Do you think that it's about the fact that he's about to get paid a lot of money and they weren't having it because they knew that his numbers were so terrible and that they felt that he was dropping off? Or do you think it was strictly money and they think when he's healthy, they know he's a really good player? Because obviously they gave up on him. They traded him to the Royals for a bag of donuts.
Yeah, he didn't get much return here. I mean, the immortal Franchy Cordero, you know, he was with the Padre organization, only has been with the Royals organization for about a year, and a couple of other, you know, players to be named later. I think it's a combination of both, honestly. I think there's a little bit of this guy's declined a little bit the last few years, mixed it in with he's getting to that point now where even though he's declined a little, his numbers are still good enough where he's going to get some money. And they seem to be in the last 2 years, especially starting with the Betch trade, you know, they're shedding right now, Scotty. It's kind of like, you know, Bloom's come in and he's going to strip it all down and start over. I'm sure he was upset that Dombrowski gave Chris Sale all that money before he went out the door. He'd love to get rid of that contract, but I think that it's a full-blown scale-down, you know, start-over for the Sox with Bloom.
Well, you know what's great is that we're both D-bags, and we hate the Red Sox, and I couldn't be happier that they suck as bad as they do and that they're in, bottom line is, dire straits. And last summer was, for me, that was as good as soft-serve ice cream in the truck on a New York City corner in the middle of summer when you hit the softy machine. And like we used to have a guy that parked out in front of a Sirius building on the corner of 49th and 6th. And this dude, George, used to park out there with his soft serve ice cream truck. And we used to get so baked and go down. I mean, we would literally get baked out of our brains and then go running down the elevator in the middle of breaks and run out to the street corner. We would text him and say, George, we're running down right now. And we'd get out there and he'd have like, you know, five or six cones ready for us with sprinkles rocking. And it was just the greatest thing ever. So for me, when they suck as bad as they have, it's just like soft serve ice cream with sprinkles. It's just the greatest thing ever. I can't get enough of their problems. In fact, you know, the one thing that sucked was watching the Patriots win all those Super Bowls and then watching the Red Sox win those World Series and then the Bruins winning Stanley Cup and the Celtics playing great and everything. I wanted to jump, but it's at least nice to know for us, you know, the real New York City D-bags, that we actually are happy that they're miserable.
No, you're right. I'm never going to shed a tear to see the Red Sox having some troubles. Did you know that this was the one-year anniversary that the Mookie Betts trade was official? So 1 year later, they got rid of Betts last year. This year, they get rid of Benintendi. Here's a quote from Chaim Bloom, of course, who runs the Red Sox now. Last year, I was optimistic about Andrew, and I still am. This is about considering opportunities to better address what we need to address long term. So there you go. They don't want to pay him. let's get down to it.
So they don't want to pay him. But here's the deal. Was he part of that Betts decision to let him go to the Dodgers?
I believe that was Bloom. Let me see when Bloom was hired. I'm pretty sure it was.
Because that was, in my view, the dumbest thing they've ever done.
Oh, yeah. He got hired at the end of the 19 season. So he was there. He made the Betch trade.
Well, that's the dumbest deal I've ever seen because he was the best player on the team. He was a star. He was the face of the franchise. He was popular in Boston. He was the most respected, loved player on the team, bar none, including Pedroia. Everyone loved Mookie Betts, right? And then he goes to the Dodgers and wins the World Series. So he was there for success in Boston, for sure, right? And now he's had multiple titles because he went to L.A. and got it done, right? And that didn't take long. They hadn't won since 88. He went out there and got it done for him. And in my view, he's the reason they won the World Series. And he was unbelievable for them. And now he's got a long-term deal worth hundreds of millions of dollars in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. And then now they've signed Trevor Bauer, and their rotation is absolutely stacked. Now, barring injury, they're still the best team in baseball. And I love what the Padres have done. I loved the Padres last summer. I told you on the show multiple times that the Padres and the White Sox were my sleepers. And I loved watching the Padres win. I went out there and went to games. I went to Petco. I love what they're doing. I love that they got Snell and Darvish and everything else. But the reality is, no one down there wants to hear it, but the Dodgers are still better. And that's all there is to it. And until they prove that they can knock them off their perch, and until they prove that they are legit, like, go win the World Series. Anything else is uncivilized, right? And then out here, out east, I mean, let's face facts. It's Tampa and the Yankees, right? I mean, what else is there? No one's afraid of the Cubs anymore. No one's afraid of, and they're not even, you know, they're in the Central, all that. But to me, the Cardinals, you get Goldschmidt and Arenado on that team, and they got Yadi back, although I think Yadi's old now. They're keeping him because they love him there. Like they wanted to keep, you know, guys like McGuire and Pujols forever too. But they win championships in St. Louis. They're going to be the best team in that division. I can guarantee you that. And so all that matters in baseball, all these other teams, they suck. They don't matter. I mean, I guess the Astros are still good, but the Dodgers are the deal. So the other team I think that is interesting, and I hate to say it because I've always hated them, but the Mets are loaded. They really are. They finally spent money. There's been all these rumors lately that they're talking to the Cubs about Chris Bryant. I'll believe it when I see it. I've heard about Chris Bryant leaving the Cubs now. It seems like every week for 2 years. And then I couldn't believe when I actually heard the guy saying the Vegas product that he is, saying that he's not having fun anymore. And then he said that was taken out of context. I think what he meant to say is it's not fun being injured and having problems and not, you know, being able to be as good as he usually is. I think that's what he meant, but it was taken out of context, I guess. And everybody pinned him that he didn't want to play baseball anymore and he wasn't, you know, digging it, and he was going to take the money and run. And I don't know, quit playing or whatever. But I actually don't even think Carver High, and I want to take a call in Chicago right now, but I don't even think that they need him. I really don't. Their rotation's sickening. I think Carrasco adds so much to that. I think Thor's coming back. I think Stroman's going to be good. I think DeGrom, I mean, obviously, I think they're built for success to have Lindor in that infield, what he's going to bring to the plate, and then defensively to their team. And I, you know, defense is so important in baseball. Nobody ever talks about it. All they talk about is home runs and strikeouts and pitchers. But defense everywhere is what really matters. I think it's crucial. And I think the Mets are going to be really good. I think the Mets and Yankees are both going to be good. I could be wrong, but I don't see how you can actually have that much talent. Even like Polar Bear, McNeil, Davis, they have all these guys that are really good. And I think that inevitably they're going to, it's going to pay off and they're going to be in it. Although it doesn't mean they're going to win it. I think the Braves are still really good. And these are the teams like in the East, but I don't think any of them can dance with the Dodgers, to be honest with you. Kevin in the Windy City, what's happening? You're on the bench.
What's up? I got to talk about the GOAT, Brady. You know what? It's getting annoying with these people trying to discredit him. Every time they say, someone says, oh, Brady's the greatest champion in sports history, blah, blah, blah. someone will say, well, what about Bill Russell? What about Serena Williams? Bill Russell played in 1965. There's a reason why people don't consider Rocky Marciano the best boxer of all time. It's either Floyd Mayweather, usually Floyd Mayweather. And because Rocky Marciano fought in like 1930 or whatever it was, way back when. So you can't compare generations ago when Bill Russell, when there was like 12 teams. You can't compare female tennis. It's just, it's completely different leagues. We're talking about Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. Everyone wants to discredit him and bring up these weird narratives about, oh, he got carried.
Let me say this, Kevin. Hold on a second. Like, so as far as Marciano goes, right, like, and you and I aren't experts on it, but I've covered boxing for 30 years. I've been to a million fights. I've been to a million Floyd fights, and I saw his last 35 fights, okay? And he won 50 fights, and he beat everybody with, you know, great defense and great counterpunching. Guy's phenomenal with his feet and his, you know, ability to avoid being hit. He also was a genius at fighting guys that he knew were finished or at the end of their career or didn't matter. He'd fight guys with a name, like, you know, Ricky Hattons and guys like this. He always knew the Maidanas and all these guys that he fought. Marquez, all of them, he knew he could beat all these guys, and he knew he could beat them, especially at the end of their career when they didn't matter anymore, and he always did it. He fought Canelo when he didn't matter and beat his ass. If they fought again, Canelo would kill Floyd Mayweather, and when he fought him the first time, he didn't know what he was doing. As far as Marciano goes, he knocked out 43 fighters. He went 49-0 and had 43 knockouts. I mean, that's crazy. I don't care what year you fought in. I don't care who you fought in. When you knock out that many fighters out of your 49 fights, 43 of them, you knock the guy out, you are a badass for life. I would agree with you about Serena Williams. I think she's phenomenal. I think she's amazing. I think she's had a way better career than her sister, and I think she's the most dominant player ever, bar none, not even close, not even a question. And I saw them all. I've seen every tennis player play for the last 55 years. I've seen all of them, from Steffi Graf, it didn't matter, Monica Seles, whoever it was, they always tried to sell you some chick was the greatest tennis player ever. And the bottom, I mean, Navratilova, Everett, I saw them all, every one of them. And no one comes close to her, not even in the same league, not even in the same stratosphere, in the same world. But no one, like Michael Jordan, I lived in Chicago for three of those titles. I lived in L.A. for the Shaq and Kobe three. All I know is, whether you like it or not, you can say whatever you want. Everyone always has an opinion. No one comes close to what Tom Brady's done, and here's why. People can say whatever they want about all these other sports. Wayne Gretzky's numbers, Wayne Gretzky's goals and assists. He's broken. He broke every record in the history of hockey and all the rest. It doesn't matter if it's race car drivers, like Formula One drivers, NASCAR driver. It doesn't matter anything. There's no one. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, seven titles. No one cares. It's great that he did it. It's amazing he did it, but no one cares. Here's the deal. The only people that care about that are NASCAR people. Everyone cares about football in this country. And everyone, women, children, dogs, cats, everyone cares. And there's no harder position in sports, bar none, not even close. You can't even compare it to anything than quarterback. It's the hardest job in all of sports to be a quarterback in the National Football League. And the most popular sport in the country, bar none, is the NFL. No questions asked. It kills everything. And he's gone to 10 Super Bowls and won seven of them. He had the right today to get hammered on tequila at the boat parade, which he did. And no one can touch his onions. He's the man. That's all there is to it. I've said this a million times. Even his wife's better looking than everyone else's wife. Even his kids are better looking than everyone else's kids. The guy's diet is better than yours. His house, his cars, his hair, his face, his skin, his sex life, everything. He's better at everything. And he's got seven Super Bowl rings. There's no discussion anymore about anything. I mean, the funny thing is like, I love what Jordan did. It was amazing. And they put him in that rarefied air with Jordan. And they don't even, like, put LeBron James in the same cul-de-sac as them. They act like he didn't do anything. Meanwhile, the guy's been to how many NBA finals? He went to 8 in a row. He's got 4 now. And he might win one this year and get 5. Then he's up there with Kobe. Then if he wins another one, it's 6. I mean, everyone's judged in this world, in this sport. Even in Europe, they judge Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi based on trophies. That's it. And then in this country, it's based on trophies and rings. And that's it. And so he's got more rings than anybody. He's the best, hands down. And I've heard all this Jerry Rice. I've heard all this Joe Montana. I love Joe Montana. I saw him play every game he ever played at Notre Dame live, in living color, in person. And I still don't think he can hold Tom Brady's onions. I think that Montana was the greatest thing I'd ever seen until Brady came along. And I never thought Brady was that good. I thought he was a chunky kid from Michigan that, you know, made it to the NFL and he was going to learn the hard way. And then Bledsoe goes down. He gets lucky, goes into the Super Bowl, wins. And then, you know, that was one thing, right? You're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that just happened. They were 14-point dogs, whatever. Next thing you know, the guy starts going to the Super Bowl every 2 years or every year or every other year, every 3 years, whatever. And then he ends up going to 10 Super Bowls and wins 7 of them. I mean, it's just... it's the stuff of legend. There's not even discussion anymore. You can't even, like, even right now, me talking about it is a joke. You can't, it's a waste of time because the guy's God. And everyone knows it. There's nothing else you can say anymore about it. People that argue that he's not are all stupid asses.
They can't accept it. They're jealous. They got their own little weird narratives to push, and they don't like it. At Tom Brady, with his little MAGA hat in his locker room. They didn't like that either, but I'll leave it to it.
You know, my wife wants to sleep with him. I mean, even that. Like, you know what I mean? The women, they all want to sleep with him. That, you know, what's even greater is my wife just comes right out with it. I want to sleep with him in front of you. So there you go. It's just, like, incredible. I can't win because... everywhere I turn is Tom Brady. You know it's true, Carver High.
No, he's the greatest of all time. He's a great humanitarian. He's a great father. He's a great husband. He's great at everything. He's TB12. And I did like seeing him, you know, a little human side of Tom today, watching him get wheelbarrowed off of that boat. You know, that was something interesting to see, Scott. You don't normally see it. You got to see Tom get wheelbarrowed off the boat with all the tequila he was drinking. Now it's okay.
I loved seeing him plastered drunk and being basically helped off the boat dock so that because he couldn't, frankly, walk. That is just fantastic that he's in dire straits like that. And what's even better is that he was laughing about it. He knew he was ripped. And then he went on record, like tweeting and Instagramming that, you know, nothing matters. I'm drinking tequila. Whatever, something like that. He talked about his avocado tequila. Sounds kind of delicious when you think about it. I used to drink a ton of Patron. Check out. Ooh. On the bench, 844-843-6879 to get on to Mahogany. Lakers making a comeback as usual on the Thunder. They were down 12, right? Now it's 73-67, 6:40 left in the third. I just wanted to look at that game really quick and see what your boy's doing. As far as LeBron, he's got just 12 in this game. 4 boards, 4 dimes, 0 of 3 from 3, 4 of 9 from the floor. Schroeder's got 15. Nobody else is doing jack. No wonder they're losing. And then you got Horford with 15, Williams 17, Diallo 13 and 75-68. OKC up at Staples with 5.5 left in the third. The Bucks are leading by 7 with just under 6 minutes to go in Phoenix. So that's turning into a game. I just wanted to see who's doing what in that one. Giannis has 25, Forbes 17, DiVincenzo 10, Middleton 13, Portis 10. I think it was Portis's birthday today. And then as far as the Suns, you've got multiple players in double figures. Bridges 15, Ayton 17 and 6, Paul 16, 3 and 5. D-Book has 17, 3 and 3. CP3 has 2 threes. Bridges 3 for 3 from downtown. That's about it. Suns shooting 56%. Bucks shooting 51%, but they're shooting 51% from downtown as opposed to 47% for the Suns. Everything else, the final. Raptors 137-115 over the Wizards. Mavericks beat the Hawks by 1. Controversy at the end of the game there. Trae Young thought he got hammered on a screen. And then he cussed out the ref. He was literally in his face, just spitting all over him with the Honda. Nets 104-94 over the Pacers. It's true. I don't want anyone in my face right now. Get out of my grill, son. Nets win 104-94. I got to look here as well to see how Crybaby did. Kyrie with 35, 4-8. He always produces. And then Harden had 19, 11, and 5. The double-double. Also in that game, Jordan had 12 and 13 boards. The double-double. And then nobody on the Pacers with a double-double, but they had Brogdon had 15. Sabonis had 18, 9, and 4. He's always good. The Grizzlies blew out the Hornets. 130-114. Anderson leads the way. A three-point spree. He had 6 threes. 23 they shot in the game. 23 three-pointers. He had 27. Kyle Anderson in the win for Memphis. Clippers win 119-112. Kawhi Leonard had a season-high 36. And Sweet Lou had 27 off the bench as the Clippers win in Minnesota. Tonight, 119-112. Bulls, winners, 129-116 over the Pelicans. Cool off New Orleans. LaVine, 46 points. 9 of the franchise record, 25 three-pointers as the Bulls went off shooting the rock tonight. Absolutely go off. Nuggets, 133-95 over the Cavs tonight. Getting involved. They finally turned it up. Anyway, in that game, listen to this. Millsap, 22. Barton, 16. Porter, 19. Joker, 12 and 12. The double-double. Murray, 8, 4 and 4. Najee, 14. Morris, 12. Green, 8. My God, they just went off. Hockey, you know the deal. Bruins on a Marchand overtime breakaway goal on Georgiev. He lit him up, 3-2 Bruins, and the Leafs beat the Canadiens 4-2. I just want to look on there in terms of the goals. Anderson made it 1-0 Montreal. Dermott, is that his name, Dermott? What's his name? Yeah, he had a goal to tie it up. No names. Hyman had one. He made it 4-2 from Matthews and Muzin. Hyman had another assist in the game. Tavares and Muzin had assists in the game, multiple assists. Tavares' eighth and ninth assists. Muzin's sixth and seventh. Eighth, he had 3 assists in the game. The Leafs win it 4-2. And they're leading the NHL in points, I think, the Leafs. That's unbelievable. They always win now. Meanwhile, they can't beat anyone that matters. We already discussed that earlier. First half. Oh, I got this game on now. 91-84 Bucks. But San Diego State up 24-18 on San Jose State. I'm getting 30. What did I get tonight? 30 points or 32? I got 32, right?
Yeah, I think you might have got it. It was down to a 30 chip, you know, when we were doing coast to coast. But, geez, I mean, laying heavy wood a couple games in a row here for the Aztecs.
Yeah, after they beat them the other night by, what, 31? So I think I got 30 this time. You're right.
It was 29 and it was 29 and a half the other night, right? When they beat him by 30. I think it was
26 and a half.
Yeah.
26 and a half and they lost by 31. And now it's 30 and right now I told you the score early. There's 5 minutes left in the first half and they're down 4. You know, when they play them back to back like that, don't you think they have a shot to cover?
You would like to think so. Like, I haven't really been keeping that close to track with these Mountain West games playing the back-to-backs. But, like, I feel like in a lot of instances, like, I know Boise has thumped teams a couple times back-to-back and Colorado State has too. It's weird, the back-to-backs. It is very strange.
I got the bad beat tonight. Wisconsin beats Nebraska 61-48. I was getting 12. They lost by 13. In Lincoln. Nice job. I blame Scott Frost for that, the football coach who has nothing to do with the basketball program. Scott Frost is the one that brought bad luck to Lincoln. Do you believe that, Carver High?
You remember we used to, the governor who we love. We love the governor, but we're still waiting around for Scott Frost to win those Big Ten titles and national titles in Lincoln. We're still waiting for those to come across the finish line. I mean,
the governor said he'd win multiple Big Ten championships and the national championship.
Not off to a good start. Ground.
I'll be in a box before they win a national championship again in college football. I mean, they can't even win the Big Ten. And I mean, when will they?
They can't even win the division. They can't even get in the title game. They can't even get into that.
How do they beat Ohio State? They can't. So they'll never win it. It's that simple. They used to be great. They used to be unbelievable. They used to win national championships. I thought Tom Osborne was great, and they've sucked ever since.
Tom Osborne.
You didn't like him?
No, because that was when they won all the time. So I really didn't like him.
He was a great coach.
It's like not liking Nick Saban now because he wins all the time. You just can't stand it. Those teams were good, though, man. Those Nebraska teams were good. That Tommy Frazier team, that guy was ridiculous.
He was ridiculous. You know, the Alabama, they just won the national championship. They went to Disney World. And then they got 7 5-star recruits and the number one recruiting class in college football again. So, I mean, the rich get richer. This guy, can you imagine the stacked talent base that he's got when he walks out on that practice field and looks at that team and he's got guys 4 deep at every position that can play in the NFL and that will rock your world and will absolutely kick your ass on a Saturday anywhere in college football. It doesn't matter where they play. I think they open with Miami next year, too. They're going to kick their ass.
I'll check now. I was just going to say, like, we should just bet the plus 250 now. You know, they're winning it again. Like, it's up at FanDuel, plus 250. They're the favorite to win the national title next year. Just write it in now. They're going to win again. You know they are. Let's take a look at this schedule.
They got the kid Bryce Young. What's his name? The quarterback. He's gonna take over right after Mac Jones gets drafted in the NFL. This kid's gonna take over and he's gonna dominate. Some people think he's way better than Mac Jones. Seriously,
did you hear all
that rhetoric today that the kid from the kid from BYU, that the Jets would draft him number 2?
Yeah, I saw that story. Get serious. I mean, honestly, if you think the Jets are going to draft Zach Wilson, there is no shot.
Get serious.
No
I recommend serious
shot.
To everyone.
There's no
I
shot.
Tell everyone to get serious.
Here's the Alabama schedule. Now, this year, they
serious,
actually, you know.
Serious 204.
Sorry. Now, this year they had to play all SEC teams because of the, you know, the pandemic and everything, which is probably the hardest schedule they're going to play, you know, in their life. Next year, Scotty, they do open with the U. That game is in Atlanta at Mercedes. That's opening weekend kickoff game, Alabama and the U. And then tough match after that. They play Mercer, Scotty. Mercer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's embarrassing. I'm sorry. It's embarrassing.
That'll be a grind for him. You know, that that game at Mercedes, when is that game? September what?
Saturday, September 4th.
Is that like Monday's Labor Day?
Yes, I would assume so.
Wow, I wouldn't mind going to that game to see Alabama just spank my Canes.
Go down there
with all my Canes garb on and watch them
lose.
This
non-conference schedule is embarrassing. Like, this is Mercer, Southern Miss, and New Mexico State. Like, come on. What are we doing here? You're Alabama. Can you at least play somebody from a Power 5 conference? I mean, all these teams. I got problems with all of it.
Who do they play in their conference games this year?
They're at Florida, which is a good game. They're home for Ole Miss. They're at Texas A&M, at Mississippi State, home for Tennessee, home for LSU, home for Arkansas, at Auburn. They're at Auburn next year. And they do play Florida at Gainesville, so they do have that one.
And when does Auburn beat them? Like once every 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, it's whenever the moon rotates a certain way. Every 6 or 7 years, Auburn actually shows up and beats Alabama in the Iron Bowl. And listen, they have beaten them. They're the one team that has, you know, they've beaten Saban a couple times in the last 10 to 15 years.
They beat them.
But it ain't every year. It ain't every year. No. So,
have you ever seen anything like how they lose one game and they still get to play for the national championship? Everybody else loses one game and their girlfriend sleeps with their boyfriend.
Well, of course. Alabama. I mean, Mercer. They got Mercer on the schedule next year. New Mexico State. I mean, please.
The Aggies.
It is so embarrassing. And it's not just Alabama. I'm not just getting on them. It is all of these teams. You should not be playing these games.
God, it's unbelievable. I get so sick and tired of watching them. I only think, you and I love Notre Dame, but people are going to get sick and tired of watching them go to the playoff and get their ass beat. But they covered against Alabama. All right, so the Bucks are kicking the Suns' ass, basically, by 10 with about 2 minutes left. Buck 58. Now it's a 9-point game. They're in serious trouble against birthday boy Bobby Portis and the Bucks. Your boy Giannis. He's not even on the floor this game, so in the bag. They got Portis down in the middle. Honestly.
Portis is a hack, too. Like, well, let's be fair. Portis stinks.
He's a hack.
He's awful.
So San Diego State is obviously already opening up a can on San Jose State. But my question to you is, do you get sick of the fact that, you know, they play them, now they're up 8, 2 minutes left in the first in San Diego. Do you think it sucks that they play them, you know, back-to-back like that, favored by 26, yeah, favored by 30, and that they play them 2 nights in a row? It's just such BS. And you know I was going to swear right there.
Yes,
you were. It's
absolute
BS. I was going to drop a bomb right there. I stopped myself like Tiger Woods' backswing stop when a camera clicks. But I know that I think it sucks. I don't even want to see the Thunder play the Lakers 2 nights in a row. I don't want to see the Arizona Coyotes play the Blues 7 games in a row like it's the conference finals. I mean, that's what's messed up right now about sports, all these back-to-back games. Or even the NHL playing just within your division, I think, sucks.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. There's nights that I like it and there's nights that I don't. It's strange. Like the Arizona St. Louis thing for me, especially with hockey, it's really ridiculous. I mean, they should not be playing 7 games in a row with each other. That is just way off the reservation.
Now look at this. The Suns suddenly down 3 with 25 seconds left and counting, and D-Book with the rock, 10 on the shot clock. They're down 3 right now. They were just down 10 with 2 minutes left, and I said the game was in the bag. Can D-Book pull it off? The driving layup to miss, but the follow, tip in. They're down one with 11 seconds left, 99-98. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody. Check out.